We are going to Isaiah. We kind of read it this morning as we move forward. We read there in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Isaiah, like many of the prophets, began to predict, and God laid upon their hearts to share with them the future of Israel and Judah. And as we look at Isaiah, he got to serve during three of the four kings that were godly kings, that were good kings. But yet he was already predicting the future of Israel, that they would become slaves to Assyria and Babylon. And so he began to pour out these messages and give them to the people of Israel, preparing them because of the disobedience in which they were walking. And so it says there, they would walk in darkness. They would dwell in the land of the shadows of death. When we talk about walking in darkness, we kind of realize that sometimes we just pass through some dark times in our lives. Is that correct? We don't stay there, and we kind of quote that scripture, this too will pass, and we move on. But there are those who are kind of stuck, those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death. They're kind of stuck there. They're kind of in that cycle of never getting out. And so we see here in this story here that there is a great light. There is good news that comes to those that are walking in darkness, that those who are stuck, those who are dwelling in darkness, there is hope. And that's what Isaiah here, he is not just predicting bad things, but he is also predicting that there is a hope. There is a light that would shine brightly upon them. So no matter what we're going through, we look at our country and we kind of think it's a dark time, but it's not compared to a lot of what the world is going through and what this time in history Isaiah is predicting. We are not even close to what they were experiencing. But he not only predicted what would come, but he also predicted that there was to be a hope. How many know that sometimes the light at the end of the tunnel is not always another train? Amen? Hallelujah. He was promising them a better future. He was promising them hope. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So those that whose hope is deferred, those who are not experiencing hope in their life, man, it just crushes your life. And whatever affects your heart affects all areas of your life. It not only affects your spirituality, it affects your mentality, it affects your emotions, right? It affects all the areas of your life. Because out of the heart come what? All the issues of life. And so Proverbs 13:12 kind of gives us some hope here. That hope, if we grab a hold of it and we experience it, it is a tree of life. The Apostle Paul penned these words in Romans chapter 5 talking about hope. He said, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad today we experience peace? That is going to be one of our themes here as we go through this month. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. How many say that you're blessed? That the grace of God has been very good to you. And we boast in the hope and the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. And everybody said amen. Right? We hope in the glory of God. But it says we also glory in our sufferings. We glory in our sufferings because what? We know that suffering produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Hallelujah. And hope does not put us to shame. Another translation says, and hope does not disappoint. Isn't that great? It does not disappoint. Because God's love has been prepared, has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, as just at the right time, when we were still powerless, when we are helpless, when we are without strength, the scripture says, when we were hopeless, Christ died for the ungodly. Aren't you glad today that he died when we were in a hopeless state? Woo! That while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. As I said, sometimes we do walk in some dark places and we dwell in the shadow of death, but it's not the place that he expects us to stay. It is not a place where we live, dwell, pitch our tent, build a house, make a living. That's not where we go. That's not living. I mean, that is living. He wants us to live. He just doesn't want us to exist. When you're hopeless, all you're doing is existing. And God has something better for us. And Titus, like Isaiah, wrote these words: "We wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." The good thing is, Isaiah, he not only spoke of the first coming, but he also spoke of the second coming. And so Titus gets on that bandwagon and says, we are, as God's people today, we are looking for the blessed hope, the second appearing of Jesus Christ. That is our hope here this morning. And what is that hope contained? We look at the rest of Isaiah, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus, right? And listen to this: "And the government will be upon his shoulder." And everybody said, amen, right? Aren't we ready for a new government? "And his name will be called Wonderful." We don't use that word too often. There are some maybe experiences in our life where we kind of whip that out, right? How many of you have a wonderful marriage? When's the last time you described it as wonderful? How many of you have ever gone on vacation? Somebody asked you, how was your vacation? Oh, it was wonderful. Or how many of you had a child and they say, how's having a baby? It's wonderful. Until the terrible twos, terrible threes, terrible fours, terrible fives, terrible sixes, and so on. You get the picture, right? It always starts out wonderful, doesn't it? It's talking about the supernatural here. It's talking about something that is mind-boggling, mind-blowing. So when we talk about Jesus, it is wonderful news. He is a counselor. How many know we all need some counselor? The Bible says if we lack wisdom, we ask God, right? And it says the Spirit will guide us into all truth, right? So they all partake in this counseling business. Aren't you glad you don't just have one person in your corner, but you have the whole Trinity in your corner? They are our counselor, Mighty God. You know, we talk about our Mighty God. We talk about heroes. I don't know how many of you watch the Marvel Comics movies out there. Many of you probably do. You know, we call them heroes. We call those who save somebody's life, we call our paramedics, we call our soldiers, we call them heroes. How often do we call our Savior a hero? That's what it's talking about here. Mighty God. He is our hero. How many know that? How many realize that? How many recognize that and proclaim that and live that? How many of us are really believing and serving a mighty God? Are we seeing the evidence of that in our lives? Or is it just a word that we put in front of his name there, Mighty God? Mighty. He is our hero. Nothing is impossible with God. He's our everlasting Father. Aren't you glad he's a loving Father? I don't know what your experience with your father was. I had a great experience with my father. He was a great father. And Jesus comes and says, hey, I'm like a loving Father, and I'm everlasting. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. There is no time with him. And he is our Prince of Peace. No greater time should we be experiencing this in our lives today, that we should be sharing the good news at this time of the season, that he is our Prince of Peace. So we have these five words describing our Savior: the child who is to be born, the son who is given. In verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So in this Advent season, we were reminded of hope, the hope that Jesus Christ represents. How many know he supplies all our needs? He is our everything. He is everything that we need. So let's guard against the misplaced or displaced hope. What's the difference between misplaced and displaced? Sometimes they go hand in hand, but they are different. Misplaced hope. Hope is that hope that we give up on. It's that hope that we abandon. It's that lost hope. And there are a lot of people who have reached that place in their life where they have just lost hope in their life. You know, I've been around a lot of seniors. They get a certain age, and their bodies are racked with sickness. You know what their hope is? I want to go home. I want to go home. And we want them to stay here, and they want to go home. Their hope is on the other side. Their hope, they're looking forward. Misplaced hope. Hope that we give up on. I don't know about you, but I misplace a lot of things. I walk out the door, I have a checklist. Do I have my glasses? Do I have my wallet? Do I have my phone? And my keys. And if you know where I live, it's a long walk to the vehicle. And when you get down there and you forgot your keys, man, it's a long way back. And it's all uphill. Misplace. Sometimes we misplace that hope in our lives. Displaced hope. That hope that, what do? We replace the hope in Jesus Christ with a lot of other things. There, you know, we place a lot of hope in people. If you're married here today, you put a lot of hope in your spouse. But how many know sometimes they disappoint us? Don't they? Counseling back here? All right. People, right? We put hope in people and they disappoint us. Professionals, they have initials in front of their names. They have degrees after their name. We put a lot of hope in them, don't we? And yet, what can they really do for us? There are possessions and money. We look at that as kind of our security system. We put our hope in those things. But how many know that as our society is kind of going this way and that way, I mean, is there really hope in it? We have hope in ourselves. You know, some of us are very prideful. Some of us, we want to do it ourselves. But how many know we can't do it ourselves? We're not an island, and we can't do it ourselves. So let me give you a logical reason for us to put our hope in Jesus Christ here this morning. There's a lot of reasons to put our hope. It's faith. Sometimes we're going through things in our life and we have needs in our life, so we put our hope in Jesus Christ that he might help us. But today we're going to look at an illustration here today to kind of give us a reason, a mental, a logical reason why we might want to take the time to recognize Jesus as a source of our hope. Some Bible scholars suggest there are more than 300 Old Testament prophetic scriptures completed in the life of Jesus Christ. Circumstances such as his birthplace, lineage, method of execution were beyond Christ's control and could not have been accidentally or deliberately fulfilled. There's a guy named Barton Payne, and he says this. He lists 574 verses in the Old Testament that had direct personal messianic foretelling. Payne found 127 personal messianic predictions involving some 348 verses that had any or all types of real or typological, I got it, prophecies of Jesus' first or second coming. Are you with me? All right, you're here. In the book Science Speaks, Peter Stoner and Robert Newman discussed the statistical improbability of one man whether accidentally or deliberately fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies Jesus fulfilled. You know, there's some prophecies, and they're found in different books of the Old Testament. It talks about his death. It talks about the furrows. It talks about his hands being pierced. It talks about him drinking the vinegar on the cross. There's all those, yes. But think about it. 8 prophecies, just 8 prophecies of Jesus being fulfilled. The chances of that happening, they say, is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Stoner presents a scenario that illustrates the magnitude of such odds. Okay, Suppose we take 10 to the 17th power worth of silver dollars. You know what a silver dollar is, right? Ooh, it's not even really silver, is it? But he says if you take 10 to the 17th power of the number of silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas, and you got to realize Texas is the second biggest state in the United States, and you can see how big it is. So let's put that in perspective. Texas is 268,596 or so square miles. Nobody can agree on Texas. They don't know how big it is, really. But if you've ever driven across Texas, you realize how big Texas is. Amen. If you go north to south or east to west, it would take 10 to 13 hours of driving to get to one end to the other. And if you had pit stops, kids, gas, food, right? It would take maybe 14 to 16 hours. So you get the idea how big this is, right? So let's go back to our silver dollars. Suppose that we take 10 to the 17th power number of these silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas. They will cover all of the state of Texas 2 feet deep. Think about how many it takes just for two stacked on top of each other. Now mark one of those silver dollars and stir it in the mass and put it somewhere in the state. Blindfold a man and tell him that he can travel as far and go anywhere he wants in the state of Texas, but he must pick up that one silver dollar. What chance would he have of getting the right one? Just the same chance that the prophets would have had in writing these eight prophecies and having them all come true in any one man from their day to the present time, providing they wrote using their own wisdom. It's quite the impossibility, isn't it? The mathematical improbability, whether you have just 8, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 of these prophecies of Jesus being the fulfiller of those, is evidence of his messiahship. So it kind of gets us to think a little bit, maybe in that, with that probability, maybe he's worth listening to. Maybe it's worth, you know, investigating why we should have a hope in this individual. Isaiah and the other Old Testament prophets, the verses in which we find these scriptures concerning the Messiah, were fulfilled in the New Testament life of Jesus Christ. They were fulfilled. Collectively, they form the leading proof of Christ's deity. Why do we believe? Because the scripture says. He predicted. As Jesus went about his ministry, he knew that he was fulfilling these prophecies, and therefore used this knowledge to confirm his claims of being the Son of God in the flesh. Let me just read you a couple. It says here in Luke chapter 24, verses 25. It says, "And Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe that all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself.'" In John chapter 5, it says, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures," and think about it, they're not New Testament scriptures, they're Old Testament scriptures. "But the Old Testament scriptures point to me." Woo! Hallelujah. So we need to be careful here this morning, misplaced or displaced hope. It's not a case of sirrah, sirrah with misplaced hope, right? Whatever will be, will be. Some people live their lives that way. Many believers live their lives. Whatever comes, comes. We'll just ride it out. But we need to be careful that misplaced and displaced hope, it's like playing the lottery. I'm not going to ask you who plays the lottery. But the chances of winning are minimal. And if you win, sometimes you win a little or you win nothing. But you could win, right? And we know that those who win, what? Find themselves in a worse situation than when they didn't have it. But our hope in Jesus is truer than playing the lottery. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 19, he wrote this. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. I don't know about you, but our hope in Christ is not just for this life, but it's for the life to come. That's how big this thing is. Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is confidence of what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You cannot have faith without hope, and you cannot have hope without faith. They are intertwined. So this first week of Advent, we lit the prophet candle to remind us of the improbability of anybody fulfilling those prophecies. But Jesus comes along and fills every single one of them. Isn't that amazing? The prophets weren't just here as a disclaimer telling what was coming in the future, but they're also peddlers of hope, predictors of hope, giving people hope. 1 Corinthians 13, 13 says, now these three remain, these things endure, these things last forever, faith, hope, and love. And these are all things that we're going to be talking about this month. I don't know where you're at this morning, what you're facing, what you're going through. You may be walking through a dark place, but Christ is our hope. You know that word Savior isn't just the Savior of our soul. It's the Savior of our lives. He wants to be our Savior. He wants to be our hero. And this morning, I'm just asking, if you're walking in a dark place, or you kind of find yourself in a dark place, you need to reorient yourself. You need to get your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for what this season represents. We are so grateful for what you represent, Lord. And this morning we're just talking about one of those attributes, and that attribute is hope. Lord, you never want us to be in a dark place. You never want us to be in a hopeless state. But Lord, you've come along just to give us hope. Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are so grateful today for the Holy Spirit that lives within us. He not only gives us the fruit of the Spirit, but he gives us hope. Hallelujah. Hope. Hope. I'm going to ask you this morning, maybe you're here today and you just want some prayer. Maybe you're walking through a dark place and you just like for us to pray with you. Would anybody be willing for you to do that this morning? I'm just going to ask you to stand where you're at this morning. Maybe you're in a place, or maybe you know somebody that's in a dark place this morning, and they need to experience that hope. Anybody this morning? Anybody else this morning? Hope. Hallelujah. Amen. We have some men come here, pray around Libby here this morning. Hallelujah.
the cares that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my
He is our hope, church. The Bible says that in season and out of season, we should be ready. What? To give a reason for the hope that is in us. What an opportunity, what a season to begin to practice that. Amen. Father, we just close this service out today, Lord, and just believe, Lord, that, Lord, you are our living hope. They're not just words in a song, not words we read off a screen, Lord, but Lord, they're written in our hearts. They're written on our hearts. You are our hope. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you being here. If you can help us Tuesday and Wednesday, we appreciate that. If you need to bring the Christmas angel bags back in, please get them to us. And we appreciate that. Anything else we need to... All right. Invite somebody with you next week. What an opportunity, right? Just to fellowship and just be in the presence of the Lord. God bless you. Have an awesome day. If anybody's interested in Sunday school class, follow. Please get a hold of me. Appreciate it. Thanks.